All right, family, welcome back to the show. So I had told people before the break, if you need to know what is on your ballot for the August 11th primary, please go to myvote.wi.gov. There is a tab that literally says what's on my ballot. If you look from the left and come, you know, back towards the middle, it is the third tab. What's on my ballot? I pulled up my personal. You put in your address. It'll give you your sample ballot. So the first thing you'll see is all of the Republican, because this is a partisan election, which means you are voting in parties, Democratic Party, Republican Party, Constitution, Libertarian, and the Green Party. We actually have five parties that participate in our process here. So you will see governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, state treasurer, congressional representative in the 4th district. That's Congresswoman Moore's district. The Republicans have two people running. Pernina Nath is running again. Jesus Christ. But you have that race. And then you have, I have the 12th Assembly District. That's former state representative Lakeisha Myers' district. On the Republican side, nobody is running. But we do have a contested race on the Democratic side. The Milwaukee County Sheriff on the Republican side. There's no one running for Milwaukee County Sheriff. Milwaukee County Clerk of Circuit Court, no one running on the Republican side. And then for governor on the Democratic side, all of the names from Crawley to Missy Hughes to Sarah Rodriguez, all of the names are on the ballot because before people started dropping out of the race, good morning to everybody on YouTube and Facebook. I see you guys up. Thank you for hanging out and waiting on us to get that back up. Appreciate y'all. But all of the names are on the ballot, okay? So you can go in and vote for any of those people that you want to. For lieutenant governor, there's only one name on the ballot on the Democratic side of the ticket, Sarah Gottlewski. Attorney general, one name. Secretary of State, one name. State treasurer, two names. Yiling Young, I think is how to pronounce it, and Dylan Ray Himmelstein. So two people contested for the state treasurer. In terms of the congressional district, there is a woman named Amy Donahue that's running against Congresswoman Moore on the Democratic side. In the 12th Assembly District, contested race, the current incumbent, Russell Antonio Goodwin. And there is newcomer, Jordan Roman. I got to get Jordan on the show. I think in the entire time that Russell Goodwin has been in that seat, I don't think I've ever had him on the show. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think so. And he's my representative, and he sucks. I just want to be real clear. I do. I want to be.
How you really feel?
No, I'm serious. He sucks.
Could you really?
I'm so appalled that he got Lakeisha's old seat. I don't know what to do. Mm. You know, he too busy making mixtapes and CDs and you know, selling them, and you know, him and his wife in their church and just nonsense. His name is Russell Goodwin. This the dude. Yeah, a little short man. This the dude who didn't know how to get his nomination paper signatures right, always short, always missing, came from the county, brought that triflingness to the state capitol. Zero. He don't do nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm just telling y'all right now, do not vote for Russell Goodwin.
Do all of that. Could you tell us how you really feel about?
I'm just saying.
You know, performance.
You go from a stellar legislator, and I'm not saying this because this is my friend. I'm saying this because this girl worked when she was in the legislature, and you knew she was in the building. Man, Russell Goodwin don't do jack. And, you know, now we get these little fake little newsletters. And, you know, talking about what I ain't fighting for. They got some little social media ads. Nothing. I will be voting for Jordan Roman.
You're being a little reserved here in how you really feel.
I'm just saying, because it just burns my grits. You know, it really does. This is the epitome of people getting in office who just looking for a job. And don't really serve in a way that's effective, that you know they in the building. It just, and to become behind somebody like Lakeisha, It's just a dagger to the chest.
And then you wonder why you know certain people won't come on your show.
Come on, you know what? Real G's to come on. Prove me wrong. Run down the laundry list. But see, if you was a regular or you reached out, I wouldn't have to talk about you. But I'm sorry. I have not like just laid nobody out for real, but I'm on the record. Sorry. Sorry. S-O-R-R-E-E-E-E. Oh, that's how you spell sorry.
I can tell you this. Jordan Roman was at the Blues Fest this weekend. Every day, at least, he was getting some FaceTime on stage. Whoever he's running against, I can't tell you because I didn't see him.
It's this man I'm talking about right now. Okay. The man who didn't know how to get enough signatures to get on the ballot multiple times. And,
how do you not know how to get enough signatures?
It didn't even need a whole bunch. It was some ridiculous number that they needed as county supervisor to get their name on the ballot. And because that's just lazy. It's just lazy. But again, he too busy making mixtapes and CDs and
honking. What kind of music is it? Good music?
I don't know what he do.
I know Russell. I know what kind of music he do, man.
What do he do? Gospel music?
Yeah, he's actually an excellent keyboard player.
That's what he should do for a career.
Well, I know him, man. Yeah. As soon as you see him, though, you're gonna know exactly who he is.
Little light skinned, short dude, light-skinned curly cat. Hair.
Wow,
man. Look like a man.
Michelle, you know, was holding back. She really.
Yeah, he got a church. It's fake.
Oh my god. I am pulling out of this conversation.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I am so mad that this dude is my elected official. I don't call they office for nothing.
Somebody said, God bless you, Michelle. Oh, look who commented. Jordan Roman. I'm ready to step up. Jordan Roman.
Oh, he listening this
Thanks,
morning.
Michelle. I'm ready to work.
Well, I shall need somebody that's going to do some work. And I'm going to just say this. Be savvy. If you know you're running in the race, somebody had a booth.
He was out there both days, all day.
Somebody said, how you know you are in the district of the chick with the talk radio show? And
you ain't doing right.
She ain't heard from you. You know, you represent, like, he represent my district. Hey,
there would be flowers just showing up on your doorstep. You never knew where it came from.
Dude, cheap little man, literature.
I would have been, took her out for a steak dinner.
No.
Let me talk to you. Let me take you out. Just do some work.
Just do something for the district.
There's some additional courting that needs to
happen. I had a whole moment. Let me come back. But I have not done that to anybody.
So Lisa has a question for you on the comments.
What's she say? Where's So Lisa at?
The bottom there.
Who is Bridget Manicini, State Assembly? You must, let me see. I don't know her. But that must be an Eastside.
It might be a good thing for her that you don't know her.
No, because I have not clowned at all. But when I say that I am appalled by the level of service that we have received from Russell Goodwin, I'm appalled.
But I will say this.
What?
Be it from the alderman's status or what have you, I've noticed since COVID, people just are not as responsive and you know, on doing their job like they used to.
They don't care.
I keep saying this. When more people in the community feel like they need to call me, because if they call the elected official, nothing's going to happen. That's crazy. And I'm not saying that these offices are not getting called.
The elected official is more apt to call you back than they will their constituent.
Yes and no, because I got some elected officials don't call me back. they don't. It's cool, but they don't. But I just okay.
But some of that also comes down to knowing who you should. You don't necessarily have to call your elected official about a pothole.
Yeah,
call the department.
You can call the department.
Works.
But you know, for most people. And let me just say this, because I'm lax, But I'm going to encourage my alderwoman. I think that she's the alderwoman for that area.
Larissa Taylor. Yeah.
If y'all have not rode Everett's Street on the side of Vincent High School.
Oh, my God.
Those potholes are so deep. Yeah. Mm. You will tear your car out the frame over there. Well, Michelle, and I have not had a chance to call. I need to put that on my to-do list today.
Remember what we saw right out in front of this radio station? The city app. When we put that in, within an hour, hour and a half, they were out there filling that pothole.
Yeah,
remember?
And that's what people tell you. Somebody got to call and let them know. But I'm going to also say to alderpersons, what Marvin Pratt used to do back in the day, riding the district, checking the conditions of his streets and what was going on. I don't know how nobody has gone to Vincent High School and not driven Everett's, E-V-E-R-T-S, I think is the way it's spelled. That is the raggedy, the potholes are crazy. And I'm talking about, it's like chunks is missing out of the street.
Wow.
And you come through there at night, man, you'll kill yourself. So, yeah, Alderwoman Taylor, because I know she listened to the show. But I'm going to call. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to call and level raise some concerns. Let me go to the phone line. Hey, caller, what's happening? Hello?
Yes, this is Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, you know, let me get it together here. No one's talking about the referendum. And the referendum is black people. For affirmative action and anything else coming up.
But it's not on until November. So that's probably why you're not hearing as much about it right now. Even though, you know, we should be talking about it, but it doesn't come up until November.
Oh, okay. And then the other one is that there are other people on the ballot, although they don't have an opponent. You know, the sheriff is on the ballot, right. A bunch of people on the ballot.
Yep. Nope. Okay. I was going through that list until I got stuck on Russell Goodwin. So, yes, ma'am. There are definitely other folks on the ballot. Most of these people are uncontested.
Okay. And the other question, the thing I have for people, if even yourself or your kids, they're home from school, 18 years old, they're still looking for people to train the next week or so for the voting polls. Okay, and they do pay you, and some people adopt polls and they donate to an organization, but they do pay you $220 for that day. So they're still looking for people for the polls, and they have like a two-hour class right down here downtown. So please, we need more people to work the polls, and then you can work the polls also August 11th?
Yes, ma'am, and August 11th.
And then November 4th. So encourage some of your kids, or if you got some vacation time or whatever, take a day and help work the polls. An 18-year-old can work the polls. So please take time out to do that.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate it. To the question Solis raised about, and Carly, here I come. Bridget, it looks like, I'm not sure if this is Manicacy. I apologize for butchering the last name. She is running in the 19th Assembly District. And I need to look and see who is currently sitting in that seat. Who is in the 19th Assembly District? And while I'm speaking of that, let me just say I got something this morning. There is going to be a candidates meet and greet. The Greater Milwaukee Urban League is holding this down at G's Clippers. 2200 North MLK Drive tomorrow, 5:30 to 7 p.m. You are invited to their upcoming nonpartisan reception to introduce voters to Wisconsin State Assembly candidates in advance of the primary election. So this is the Greater Milwaukee Urban League Guild and the Greater Milwaukee Urban League Young Professionals. So this is happening tomorrow on July 23rd. I don't know if he'll be there, but I'm assuming Jordan Roman for the 12th Assembly District may be in the building. Let me go to the phone line. Hey, caller, what's happening? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good.
I miss you guys so very much. I hadn't been calling in because I had been going through a lot, so I just shut down. But I'm happy to hear your voice, and I'm glad you're doing well, and I'm glad you're back.
Thank you. And I did try to call you while I was gone. It went to voicemail because I saw you had called me while I was out of town. So just
yeah,
so
but
you know,
I didn't know you were out of town because I wasn't listening.
No, that's okay. I just wanted you to know I tried to call you back.
Oh, well, thank you so very much, and Hello, Bebo. Hello, Jermaine. And Clark Kent, who you with if you're in there. I love you guys. So please try to reach out to me again if you can this week, Michelle.
Okay, I will, Angela. Good to hear your voice.
All right, so I have a blessed day and be safe.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Somebody is texting, are you on today? Yes, I am. We started YouTube late, but check us out. Wait, not we. Okay, I'll fix that. Somebody's trying to reach out. I need to take a break. So let me do that. Callers, you'll be first up before we get our guests in the studio. Michelle Bryant, y'all, WNOV 860 AM, 106.5 FM. And this woman, Solis Bridget, she is running against the incumbent, Ryan Clancy, who is currently the state representative for that area. So you can actually Google her name. There's a ton of information about her out there. And you can Google Ryan Clancy's name, C-L-A-N-C-Y, to kind of get an idea about what both of these candidates are about. Be right back, y'all. All right. Said I had some callers, or got at least one left on the phone line. Let's go to the phone line. Hey, caller, what's happening?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I have a question. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
I have a question. You talk about the people of color that this gentleman didn't, right? I mean, they put on his ad, right?
I talked about the people of color in Joe Brennan's ad, yes.
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 Now, who said that the Chinese, the Asian lady, is a person of color?
She is.
She is?
Anybody that's not white is a person of color. You didn't know that?
Well, they don't claim it that way, such.
I can't help what they do. I'm telling you what it is.
We claim everybody.
No, we're not claiming anybody, because you say person of color. That don't mean you black. But it doesn't mean that it's not true. I'm not claiming you. It's just, it is what it is. It's the jacked up way this country is set up. Anybody that's not
white. Who set it up that way, though, babe?
Is a person of color. Well, you already know who set it up that way. Your Republican friends.
No.
Let's leave
Republican out of it and Democrat out of it for a moment. Let's look at who we really are.
Nietzsche. We know who set up the system. We didn't create racial classifications.
System, but who grabbed on to these people and put them in our
Not us. They were.
They sure ain't came on their own. They were forcing to have other people.
It's a bunch of Hispanic people that in their mind believe they white. That's why they had to.
They don't fellowship and identify with us, ma'am. We identify with them. We try to bring them into our
diaspora. I didn't set up the system, bruh.
Okay, I understand that, Michelle, that you did not set up the system. I didn't set up the system. But some kind of way, we've adopted and made it our culture. Not even our culture. They don't want our culture, man. They'll copy it now. They'll copy it. They'll do what we do, and they'll do what we do, and they see that it works, and they think it's kind of fly because we flamboyant, we kind of loud and radical. What has happened is we have allowed these people into our huddles, into our locker rooms. They came in, read the playbook, in some cases stole pages out of the playbook.
In a lot of ways,
and they're running our plays.
Okay, but because a lot of them have been subject to many of the things that have impacted us in terms of voting rights, in terms of housing discrimination, in terms of redistricting, in terms of access to quality health care, in terms of access to quality public schools. So it's not a surprise that you will see folks showing up in our rooms,
Michelle,
because many of them
have
been subjected to the same thing.
They don't have to keep renewing their voting rights. Those people have been granted the privilege to vote. They have never been put in our category as having to read.
I didn't say it was the exact same, Meech. I said they share many of the similar issues that we face.
Well, I don't see where they do, because they come into our country and they go right to the winning side.
So have any of those groups been discriminated against by white folks?
No, and if they have, they've been
compensated. Yes, they have, and I need you to read your history book and stop
playing. But hold on, they've been compensated for it.
Well, see how quick you tried to ease through that? Because
have any of them been discriminated against?
And you said, no, but then you said, but they've been compensated.
So you knew when you said
you was BSing.
Listen to this.
Meech.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, let me use your word.
Can I say this to you? Looking for an argument
no,
at me.
No,
and
I'm
I don't
not.
Want to really give you one.
I just,
now, one more time, because I know you got guests coming
sound
in.
Sound conversation.
I know you got guests coming
okay,
in.
Okay, so
I got
go
one
ahead.
More question to ask you.
Yes.
Why won't you spend any time on this school board tax, property tax? Because if you got 5 or 6, 10 houses, even if you got one little grandma's house, and then by 2033, do you understand what the compound of that rate would be on your taxes? You won't have no houses. You won't have no house, especially if you got a commercial building. It won't work for you. You're going to have to give it up because you can't afford it. Now listen, even if you are a full-blooded Democrat, if you got somebody coming in saying they finna stop this and it's on record, and they don't, we bring a lawsuit against them and the campaign that ran the junk. Because now it becomes a false, fictitious, egregious type of deception. So even if you are a Democrat and you want to save grandma's
house, let me just
why
make
would
sure.
not vote for that and then go back to being a Democrat? But make sure you get in there.
Meech.
Yes, ma'am.
I need
you to spend time on that.
So I guess I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is you want me to talk about. Because we know that property
tax
increase,
that he partially vetoed for property taxes for the school board, and how that's going to increase over the years. And if you're in a rural area with no school taxes for miles and miles and miles, I forget what the diameter is, that you don't have to worry about it. But if you are, you safe. But if you're not, especially in the inner cities, that stuff, you won't be able to afford it right now. If you add on $1,000 per $100,000 for your house worth $200,000.
The tax that is collected by the school board for Milwaukee Public School District is $9.46 per.
Increase that, ma'am. You
per,
have to, no,
per
no 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 no. That's per child, right?
Assess the value. That's what
is that
it is
per
right
child?
Now. That's what it is right now. No, that's just.
But it's per child, though. Add that up. You got to realize it ain't gonna be $9 on my taxes.
It is the bill. You own one house. So, and if you own 10, then you got to pay it 10 times. But if you own one home, for every $1,000 that house is worth, $9.46 of it, or something about that, goes to the public school system.
No, I thank you, ma'am. Hey, Michelle, you said for every $100,000 it's only
$9. I said for every $1,000, $9 of it goes.
So if your house is $200,000, then how many
$9 is that?
Hold on. If your house is worth $200,000, how many $9 is that per thousand?
$1,892.
Okay,
but
you got $1,800 added on to your tax bill.
That's just
already
a percentage
of
your tax bill.
Your county taxes, your city taxes, it's going to hurt us.
Hey,
you're going to lose your house.
Hey,
you got to be honest with the people. $9 on his face sounds like it's nothing.
Okay, so what I'm
going to
do.
No, that's something that needs to be.
Look,
if you love your people,
you know
I would never tell
people
to go vote for a party that's going to take my house. I don't love the damn the doggone party that much. You almost made me swear.
You know what, and you already did, but it's okay.
No, I didn't.
Thank you.
Thank you. These people will not pee down your throat.
Yes, I know
fire.
They're trying to raise
about
the tax
allowing
levy.
Allowing them to continue this mess by 5 years. For 5 years, for some people, they won't even have a house.
Thank you, Meech. I appreciate the call.
No, you got to get honest with the people, man.
No, you know what I am not going to do is, act like I'm not willing to help fund schools, because I am. And I understand that people who live in nice homes, they help to contribute towards that baseline dollar that's needed to have quality schools. You know, it's amazing that there are folks in other communities that they move to communities because of the quality of the schools, if they have school-aged children, or because of the quality of life they want around them. I'm not offended or upset about property taxes going towards public education. Now, how it goes up, and they had proposed last year like a 2.5%, almost 3% increase in the tax levy to address that $252 million deficit. We got $46 million that we had a deficit on most recently. We got to figure that piece out. It's not going to go away. But also understand that we got to make sure we get the proper amount of money from state government to be able to help finance our district. So, you know, at the end of the day, I don't see this as some grand conspiracy and folks trying to put people out their homes. I see this as folks trying to figure out how to pay for public education and how to pay for all the things that we're required to pay for when we're being shorted by the state. And that's what it comes down to. And we gonna have some issues. But, you know, this whole, you know, everybody out to get me and it's a conspiracy. Yeah, I don't do all of that. Okay. What time is it? 7:59. I need to take a break. Caller, I'm going to get you in. I'm going to see if my guests have arrived. And we will cover, you know, that conversation. We can talk about the NPS property tax rate, you know, and how that impacts people overall. But this is the cost of doing business on one hand. Now, how much business, you know, how much it costs us, it's up for debate. But it's the cost of doing business. We live in the largest city in the state. We got more kids in our school district than any other school district in the state. Somebody got to pay for that. Somebody got to pay for that. And so all this hell raising and hollering, let's just talk about the impact and the bottom line. But a lot of this rests with the state and who has been in control and who has made these decisions that have harmed public education and made it underfunded. We got to have those conversations. All right. Michelle Bryan, WNOV, all this dang howling. NPS is broken and we need you to keep pace with the modern economy. Okay. I just want to see the comments real quick. All right. Let me go to break. Michelle Bryan, WNOV, 860 AM, 106.5 FM. We will be right back. All right, family. Welcome back to the show. Got a caller who held through the break. Let's get them in. Hey, caller. What's happening?
Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
And thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to try to be as brief as possible.
Okay.
First thing with the aldermen. Didn't a couple of years ago, their jobs are not full-time jobs anymore, are they?
I can't tell because they make like $90,000 a year. So I think they are. Yeah. All the persons.
Wait, hold on a minute. Are you telling me our aldermen make $90,000 a year?
If I'm not mistaken, it's $86,000. I'll pull up that up while you're talking. But they gave themselves.
They make that kind of money.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, and I noticed it's 18 districts, right?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. And that's one alderman. And if they're making $90,000, does their personal pay hiring an assistant to work for them? Is it a budget that they allow, or how does that work?
So they do have their own staff, but it seems like they also use staff from a pool. In addition to that one staff that may, you know, sit in their office or field all their calls or their assistant. Right. I don't know the full breadth of it. And I pulled up the salary. It's $84,205. That's the base salary. But they had been under a 16-year pay freeze, too. So they hadn't gotten a raise in 16 years. But yes, ma'am.
So I'm willing to bet you, Michelle, all of them are not getting that kind of money. But anyway, let's go on from this. Since the pandemic, after the pandemic, a whole lot of things have happened. Some of them do not have a good assistant or not even have one. The ones that do are the aldermen that are doing a better job. And now our community, I worked in the community for many years, Safe and Sound and some other organizations. We would call them to tell them about the complaint in our neighborhood. And it was enough people at that time because the businesses were collaborating partners with these community organizations. And they had staff that could go out and look at the houses, see it was a complaint, turn it into the city. The city would write up a thing and have and you had so much time to get it corrected. Well, now they're not getting that money. They don't have the same collaborating partner. Everybody is squeezed for dollars. And Northwest Mutual can't do it all. So now you don't, in these agents, in these community organizations like Amani United, Metcalf, Sherman Park, and just to name a few, because there's quite a few of them. They're struggling trying to get people. So they don't have the people that can walk around and do these complaints and do all this stuff. But if you work with your alderman, calling in, going down there to see him, this is the way I was brought up. Do your diligence. You don't go get the big dog unless the chihuahuas aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then you have a good complaint because you have a record of how you've been calling and calling and nothing's being done. Now, let's get back to the other part of what's going on with our MPS school. Everybody knows what the situation is. They have been doing us in Madison for decades. They're racist practice. So you have some Democrats up there. What are they doing? Do they come back and let us know what's going on? Because if I vote for you, I got your back. But I want to see how you're voting for your constituents that's back here in Milwaukee. Now, the people that are in office and they've been there a while, why do you keep putting them there, choking us out? So some of this falls back on us. And as far as the Hispanic and the people that don't want to do what they want to do, listen, let's do our job. And the people that are trying to get to Washington and represent and get out there and complain about something, show your face. This is what I want to tell Trump. We tired of fixing his airplane. We tired of his family in the hand in the till. Do you know how much money? Because they went through the back door with the drones. They have some money that they're gaining with these drones, okay? With the war going on, they're making big money. How about $3 million on investments in the drone? So while he's doing all this warning and doing all this about an election, our country is being drained. Tell them to give Social Security a 5.99. And that plane that he should have never accepted. And our sorry Supreme Court, I don't know what they're doing. And I'm not too sorry that they have to wear a protective vest because someone is getting a little sick of them. Do your job. You're not there to be on a particular party or on Trump's choke train. Now, let's everybody got something in this. Stop pointing the finger at the wrong person and get out there and meet. Go to Madison. And do your parade. Have a great day.
Thank you. Go to Madison and do your parade. Okay. Let me see. Check your phone. Okay. So I'm going to get ready. I got guests coming into the studio. Told you the young people from the Hustle and Grow show. Let me hit a couple things before I bring them in, and I'll bring them in after the break. The caller mentioned the Trump administration and spending, right? So let me be clear. As many people had an opportunity to listen to the Department of Defense spending on the Iran war, the number, $37 billion has been spent on the Iran, whichever is the appropriate way to say it, war so far.
We've decimated them. They have no more will to fight. They
exactly.
You know, I thought.
And this is the maddening part. As the Secretary of Defense, the unqualified Pete Hegseth sat in front of members of Congress, the Senate Appropriations Committee. They were asking for an additional $67 billion to fight this war. Mm. So we have spent $36.5 billion on a war that somebody called us, Israel, and said, hey, y'all need to get in on this. And Trump, you know, want to throw his heft and weight around and says, okay. To date, 18 U.S. service members are dead. While initially they were only talking about 100 or so were injured, we know that the number is closer to about 500 that have been injured in this whole situation. We're not going to talk about what it has done in terms of gas prices and our economy. But we can't get health care for American citizens.
We don't have troops on the ground. We don't have boots on the ground, do we?
In some of the areas where they are either doing coordinated attacks, we do have some folks that, you know, they've been able to target. And I was trying to remember the young 19-year-old young woman who was just killed, you know, because they break down how a few of them have been killed. But, you know, we hadn't been getting the full information until the New York Times kept stressing and pressing them about what was going on. Mm-hmm. But you're right. If we have decimated and Trump does the laundry list, they don't have this capability, no, you know, military bases, no planes, no drones, no this, no underwater capabilities. So why you need nearly double what you've already spent on a country that supposedly you have decimated everything about their military capabilities? Mm-hmm. $67 billion is what these people are asking for.
Wow.
$67 billion. But you cutting SNAP benefits, food share. We don't have health care. We couldn't get the subsidies worked out for our people. And I'm just looking at Republicans in particular. How you come back to the district and look people in their face and say, we got $100 billion to spend on a war with Iran. We got $1 billion to spend on retrofitting a plane while we have a brand new Air Force One being built currently that will be available next year. Like for the party that's always talking about their fiscal conservatism, they tricking money left and right under this man. And they have no spine or backbone and are willing to say enough is enough. Let me go to the phone line, then I'll go to break. Hey, caller. What's up?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Solis. How you doing?
All right, yourself.
I'm good. I'm good.
Did you see where he suspended health care in California and Minnesota? In the last couple of days because of some fraud. Whatever, I forgot what they said, but it's out there. All right.
Thank you, Solis. And I know what you are. I'm just pulling up. Thank you, Solis. This was about the whole what they were calling Medicaid fraud. And so they suspended, this is the administration, suspended more than $1 billion in Medicaid dollars to Minnesota and California over, quote, suspected fraud. And so, yes, this is a Trump administration. They are halting Medicaid payments. So they're holding back all this money based on, you know, a few isolated situations. You're going to impact entire, you know, states without any real proof of what's going on. So I'll talk about that. But let me go to break so I can bring the guests in. And we'll keep the show moving. Michelle Bryant, WNOV, 860 AM. The hearing on Hegseth. Yeah, no, it was just brief. I was just working in. They said, with all due respect, Michelle's not describing it as well as watching the hearing itself. Please watch the hearing. In no way intended to try to do service to it. I was simply waiting for my guests to come in, and I wanted to mention it before I got the show rolling. So no, I agree. Definitely go and watch the hearing. All right, y'all. I'll be right back.
OV.
All right, family, welcome back to the show. So I told you all that I was going to have guests in the studio this morning, and this actually is a honor and a pleasure because I have my colleagues in the building. I don't get to see them on a regular basis, but I know some of these faces, some too well, but I know these faces, and I am thrilled that we are a station that talks about empowering youth voices. I am very proud of the fact that I have a number of young people that listen to my show, but to know that we actually have a show that is youth-centered, youth-focused, and then to listen to the depth of issues that they discuss on any given day in terms of their show content, it is nothing short of incredible. So I am pleased to have the host of the Hustle and Grow Show here at WNOV 860 AM 106.5 FM. Join me in studio this morning. What's going on, family?
We're having a good day today.
How y'all doing today?
Awake.
You said awake? Yeah, I just want y'all to know that that was a concern if y'all was going to be able to be up early enough for the show. I'm not calling any names.
We do it every last Saturday of every month. So, you know.
Yeah. Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, yeah.
That's make sure to set that alarm.
I'd argue it's harder to get up on a Saturday than Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you all were here and able to join us this morning. So please take a second, introduce yourself. I'll start over here with Ian. Let folks know who they're listening to.
I've been described as a guy with a golden voice. My name is Ian Phillips. Joined Hustle and Grow Show, was it last year?
I think the year before.
Year before? Have I really been doing this for two years?
Yeah.
Man, that doesn't feel like it. I've been blessed with this opportunity. I've been so glad to continue to do this, and I hope that you'll hear more of me soon.
All right.
It's Naomi. I've been part of this for, I think, 8 years now. We're coming up on our 100th show anniversary. Yeah, 100th show anniversary. So I'm really excited about that.
So you are old school up in the building. Okay.
Yeah. My name is Antonio. I've been on the show for, I think, like four, pushing 5 years now.
Whoa.
Started my freshman year. It's called up. We were at the Black American Holocaust Museum. They interviewed me. And then I got in contact with them. Mr. Kelly told me and my sister would be a great fit. So been history ever since.
Because that's one of the things I was going to ask. So for folks that are regular listeners, you know, sometimes we don't think about how these young people got behind the mic. It was funny hearing Ian say that he had been told that he has a golden voice, does have a great radio voice. Reminded me of when I was 16, I did an event for a local radio station, and the station manager came through, same thing. You have a voice for radio. And I started laughing, never in a million years imagining that I would actually be sitting behind a mic. So I am interested, Naomi, how do you come to be almost like at the founding of some of this?
Oh my gosh. I think there was a time where they would have like something on the radio where they would be like, call this number if you want to participate. And so one of my parents, I can't remember which one, they called in and got me and my sister in. And then throughout the years, like, we kind of like alternated. Like, I was like the only one who really like stuck with it for a long, long time. But for like a couple years, like my older sister and my other older sister, they came in and they were a part of it. And my younger sister was a part of it as well. So they all were a part of it for a while. But I like stayed. So
And Ian, how did you come to the table?
I came to the table because of Antonio.
I like that,
because I came to Pathways High, I think it was my junior year of high school, transitioning off of virtual school for a while, and I wanted to get back into it. Antonio and I became friends after a while. I think it was like about maybe half a year, maybe a little bit more time during my time at Pathways. He came up to me one day, he's like, hey, have you ever thought about being on the radio before? And I'm like, oh, you don't say. Yes, I would be interested. How would I do that? Yeah. And then he said, well, I've got this radio show thing that I do. And then we're doing our show. Or no, it wasn't we're doing the show, but we're having a meeting. First interaction I had with the Hustle and Grow Show was through virtual meeting with Mr. Kelly. And we were talking about, I think that time we were talking about like the First Amendment and what it actually means to have like the First Amendment rights and all that, because it was in topic to the show that they were doing. And then the first show came and I was here with Brina, and I just enjoyed it so much because this was my first opportunity to get my hands on to an actual radio station and be behind a mic. And I quickly became a little bit more opinionated, but I try to.
No.
No, what? Never. Never no. Me. No. Right.
Well, look, so let me ask this question. Since Naomi, you've seen this thing evolve. Mm-hmm. Okay. How has it changed from when you first came in the door to what we have now?
Okay. So at the beginning, I think we were kind of taking it easy. So like each month we would go for like more playful, lighthearted topics or discussions. So I think moving on, it kind of got like more serious, more mature. And we were having to speak on more like important like topics. But each time we did have to talk about politics and entrepreneurship. That was always a thing. But I think at the beginning, we were just kind of finding our voice, finding what's easier to talk about, what's harder to talk about, and then trying to choose topics according to like what we could just like talk about on air and not have like a bunch of dead air.
Okay. Antonio, I saw you nodding your head in agreement.
Yeah. Before, like she said, we were finding our voice. We were younger, so we a bit more shy, timid. As aging, growing up, and understanding, like, this
so
is what we do.
How old were you when you came in?
Like 14.
14, okay.
Yeah, around 14. I remember, like, asking one of my teachers, like, hey, how should I prepare for this? Like, I've never done something like this. And then they just said, just make sure you're prepared. Like, if you don't feel prepared, you might stutter or, like, be scared. But if you really know what you're going to talk about, you know, it feels easier. Mm-hmm. You can just let the words flow.
I'm glad you said that, because one of the things is watching the evolution of confidence from those first initial appearances to now. You know, every once in a while, if I'm lucky enough and I am in the studio doing something or picking up something, or even just walking on like you guys prep, you can see, I mean, it sounds like a newsroom. As there are discussions about the topics and, you know, who's going to take on what story and who will tackle this. So can you speak about whether this has impacted you personally in terms of your own confidence? And if you see that transferring out into other things that you do outside of the radio station? How about you, Ian?
I would say, yes, this has impacted me personally, because it's every single month when we get on the meetings again and we hear how many people have listened, I'm like, we've reached that many people. Like, I think our last show was like, what, 200?
At least 200.
At least 200 views. Okay. And it's like, that sounds small in, you know, in some people's minds, because some other videos have like 1,000 views, and that's a lot. But that's 200, at least 200 people, you know, not including some, you know, YouTube bots or whatever. But I know people saw us, and I think that makes a difference. It's also helped me with other opportunities I've got going on with radio and, you know, sharing my voice and whatnot. Then I really think this is a great experience for me.
All right. So best interview ever.
Come to me last, because I think we both know the answer. Come to me last.
Best interview. What you got, Antonio?
Well, I'd say the one that I remember the most, it was my first Harvest of Hope. Where we do like a live studio interviews, like we're in a different venue and we talk to the county executive mayor, and we also talk to Andrea Williams.
I remember I was
there. And so Mr. Kelly, he wrote in for me to ask Andrea Williams if she was into younger guys.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I could have seen that. I wish I could have seen that.
Oh man.
So you didn't know the question was there, or you knew it?
I knew, and he asked me.
Build it up to this moment.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, how am I gonna sell this?
You just gotta come out like, hey, you know,
it couldn't be like phrased as like an interview question.
Right, right.
Like off script type.
I witnessed you do it.
Yeah. And I'd say that was most memorable.
That was memorable for you. Mm-hmm. So did you talk to Mr. Kelly about that later? Sir, can you not be writing crazy stuff into the script, to the question?
Yeah, I was thinking like, what the heck?
Like, yeah,
me of all people.
He has his own sense of humor. You know, I don't know how y'all parents have entrusted y'all to his hands. I just look, it's kind of scary. Naomi, how about you? Best interview, most memorable interview?
You kind of took my answer with the live interviews, but I would say not the harvest. The Harvest of Hope is where we like sit in like a line, right? Okay, yeah. So the one where we go to like the business expo,
okay,
and then we go to like the different businesses, asking them about their business. I think that was my favorite, just because like we can, you know, get the word out there about other people's business while also, you know, doing our own thing. So I think that's like, I don't know,
yeah, cool. Remember trying hot cocoa?
It. Yeah, and then we like discover new things that they're selling in Milwaukee. I think that's really cool.
That's cool. Saved Ian for yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, memorable interview, best show. What you got?
Okay. I don't remember the exact month that we did it, but I do remember it. Can't forget it. It was a show like any other. We were talking about stuff, and then I had the dumb idea to say that
the audacity.
How dare I? I said, you know, I think that's just too much to pay for a dress. I don't remember the exact amount. And thinking back on it now, it probably wasn't that outrageous. But in that moment, I'll be honest, my pockets were not looking full. So I was just thinking, you know, I don't got money like that. And you're probably only going to wear that once. So said that, caused a little bit of a debate. Next thing I know, I don't even know this at first, but I look out the window, you know, just peering out the window. I see a car pull up. I'm like, I don't think anything of it. I hear some stuff in the office. I'm like, oh, whatever. Someone's coming to talk to Mr. Kelly. And the door opens. And wouldn't you know it, Michelle Bryan comes in. I have zero clue who she is at this point. I don't know who she is. I didn't even know she was a host on this station. Didn't know that. So she comes up to me. She's like, I don't remember exactly what you said, but you're like, you so cheap. You ain't never gonna find a wife. You ain't never gonna find a woman. I'm like, who is this?
Oh, it was a whole moment up in here.
Yeah. And I didn't know who she was.
And let me be clear. Yeah. Ian has some very Michelle-esque moments about him in his demeanor. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we had a clash of the Titans up in this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was talking like my mom for a second. I'll be honest with you. I did so disrespectful. I put my hand in her face. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. Get away from me. Bad energy. Get away from me, man.
It's just the fact that you would think they would let someone in here.
I didn't know who it was.
It was funny to me, though. Because he was very respectful, but yet standing his ground.
Like, you tried to keep it respectful.
Nobody's going
to
marry you.
Like, yeah. Damn, get out of here.
I mean, we was cool. We was cool till the hand went up. Then I was like, oh, now, hold on now, player. Yeah. But what was it? So after everything is done, you know, later we talk, you know, we end up having a conversation. Takeaway from that?
My takeaway from it was that, well, obviously, I can't judge a book by its cover. That's obvious. But that there are other people out there that have things that I don't know. They have more experience than I do, and they have a different perspective. And I learned
you need to spend more money on your girlfriend.
Okay. We'll get to that point. Okay. You're not even on camera. Okay. I'm sorry.
You see, ain't nothing changed.
I'm sorry.
Nothing has changed.
Seriously, I had to learn that other people have opinions and they have perspectives that I need to take into consideration. And I need to not just be so stagnant on my position and be open to hearing other people, even if, you know, they're flat out wrong.
I think the other thing, you know, that it comes through and it happens to me often, it happens this morning, you know, how do you deal, particularly when you're on the air in the moment and somebody comes for you, you know, how do you balance what your response should be? and temper kind of, you know, because that speaks to your ability to pivot, professionalism. How do I respond in the heat of a moment? Because doing this work, and we don't screen our calls. So anybody could call, you know, and I think that that's one of the things that I've been extremely impressed by you guys about is the level of maturity that you show as you do this. But listening to some of the debate and the discussions on the topics, what was the most difficult topic you think to talk about or that you may have gotten the most disagreement amongst you all as a group?
I think there are multiple counts where we're like talking about like politics or something controversial and someone will call in and I guess say something super like one-sided, I guess, like and it'll be against like what we're saying. So I mean, understandable, you have your own opinion, but I guess you can agree to disagree, to say the least. I just think when they call in and give like a very one-sided opinion, it's kind of hard to counter that unless you just say, I disagree, I think this, but then it doesn't get anywhere because you're not like learning from one another. So I don't know.
So why, you know, there, like I said, there are tons of stations that don't create this kind of opportunity. We had Milwaukee County in the other day and they brought members of their youth council. I had no idea they had a youth council.
Yeah.
Talking to these young people though, blew me away. The decisions that they were making, the issues that they cared about. Why is it so important to make sure that there's a platform and a place for young people to be able to not only discuss the issues, but have people here? Like you said, you got 200 people tuning in on this particular, you know, and I tell people, if you go back and look at it again later, you'll see that number has increased from the last time you looked at it because folks have the ability to go back and listen later. So why is it important? And do you feel like it's enough opportunities? Are we listening as an adult community to some of the things that you all are raising? What do you think, Antonio? I'll start there.
I'd say it's important for children. Well, not even just children, like anyone of any age to be able to have a platform, talk about how they feel about the world they're living in, because we all share this earth and we have all our own opinions on what's going on around us, especially in like our smaller communities. And to have that platform, because we were just talking about, we have like, we had 200 viewers and that means something. That means that people were tuning in, listening and comprehending. We have commenters. Like my mom's always commenting, like saying like, good show, all these things.
Yep, and same with my dad. Yeah.
That type of reception is like, oh.
Has it changed the relationship with your parents?
Yeah, for sure.
In what way?
They want me to take it seriously. They want me to be on point, make sure like I'm speaking professionally, taking my time when I'm talking, speaking up, like those types of things that translate also outside of the radio. And you're able to put this on your resume. I have it on my resume.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like that type of thing.
Let me be clear, and Ian, I'm gonna come to you because I'm interested. But my son used to do a show called Team Forum. And so every weekend on Saturday, him and his co-anchors actually were on television live every morning, Saturday morning, channel 12. He did that eighth, ninth grade. Then he went to go work for the Bucks for 3 years. But when he graduated from college, Team Forum was on his resume. And his first job out of college was ESPN. And he was a halftime commentator for HBCU games, football games. They went back to that Team Forum experience and understanding that for 2 years, this kid was on TV every weekend. And so this is a major asset when you start talking about professional development and people understanding your capabilities. Ian, how about you real quick? How's it been, you know, with the parents or?
With my parents, I gotta say like during the first few months, my mom was, she was happy for me because she knew that I wanted to speak on television. She also knew that I wanted to be in front of a camera, have a microphone in front of my face. She loved it, but she also wanted me to, you know, take it seriously.
Okay.
There were some moments in the beginning where it was like, you really got to have your facts straight, kid. Like, you're on the radio, keep it together. There was another conversation, although I don't see him much. I did have a conversation with my dad, and like, my dad is supportive that I do this too. There was one event, one show that we did, where I'll admit I wasn't as prepared as I could have been.
Okay.
And my dad called me after the show, and he just told me straight up, son, that was bad. That was bad. You did not have your facts straight at all. Like, you're on the radio. You gotta keep it up. And at the time, it was a little harsh to hear, but I understood what he was saying. And mm-hmm. I took that. And I was like, I'll never go another show without at least having sources up to make sure I can confirm what I'm saying. Or if it's a topic about opinion, you know. And even when we had topics about opinion inside the station, I don't think we've really had much of a clash of button heads. I think the most clash we ever got when it was just us here is probably just opinions on either like movies or because we had debates
like
on
Nightmare Before Christmas. Is
okay.
Like a Halloween
listen. We're not gonna bring that up because I think they had the position that it was a Halloween. What was it? Did you say it was Halloween or Christmas movie?
I can't even remember
it. Is it
point.
Halloween?
I thought it was.
It kind of is a Halloween.
I thought it was a Halloween movie.
I thought it was a Christmas movie. Because the whole thing.
Nobody watches that on Christmas, though.
But the thing is, the whole purpose of the movie is it's the Nightmare Before Christmas, not the Nightmare Before. Okay, they're in Halloween Town, but he dresses up like Santa Claus, so it's a Christmas movie. No,
but it feels more like
same thing with Home Alone. Like Home Alone is a Christmas movie.
So this is what's happening on the air. Is this a debate?
Yeah. This is probably like the most, or like with political topics. Like I know I've had some moments where I've said on the show, this does not happen often, and I don't want anyone to take me out of context with this. There have been very few moments where I've said, I can sort of see where Trump is going with this. Very few. There are very few moments.
And how did that go over?
They didn't necessarily be like, oh, you're a Trumpy? You're a MAGA. You wear a MAGA hat in your closet, don't you?
No. I think we just got used to it.
Yeah, they got used to it after a while. Because like I've never, especially with like, I remember we were talking about the immigration system, and I was like, I agree that there shouldn't be, you know, violence immigrants, but like, you can't just go around arresting random people. You can't abuse your stuff as an ICE officer. I don't agree with what ICE is doing at all, but like, I can see why their job is to get the violent ones out. Sure, that's fine, but I think within the
I'm
station,
looking at Naomi's face.
Yeah, I do a very good job at making other people uncomfortable. I find some pride in that.
Well, I would tell you, as someone who every once in a while can make folks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It is an art. Yeah. You know, I think as long as you are always fair, mm-hmm. because discomfort does not mean I'm not being fair, mm-hmm. you know, and you are respectful in the way that you push back and get at people, you know, it makes for good radio. So two things as we get ready to wrap for the day. Where do you see yourself going from here? Is anybody seriously looking at a career in communication, in the media, being either behind the mic, in front of a television camera? Naomi, since you've been doing this the longest?
As of now, I just think I'm using this opportunity to build myself up, like as a person. Yeah, so this helps me kind of like step out of my comfort zone.
Because you were so shy. Yeah. Oh my God. You and your sister. But she was a little bit more, I think, talkative, but y'all were shy when I first met y'all.
And that's like the crazy thing about this is that I can see a huge difference. So I think that just continuing this would just help me get more and more out of my shell, help me, you know, research, help me talk more, help me communicate. Like, it's just a lot of perks that come with it. So
okay. Antonia, future?
Well, I'm preparing myself to like make YouTube videos or content creation, because I want to talk about even topics that aren't necessarily related to like entrepreneurship and politics, like talk about a few more like nicher things that I'm interested in. And so I'd love to do that and find a community in that space. And also, while I'm making my comic books, like, be able to platform that.
Okay.
So that's something that I'm looking into.
Love it. Yeah. Golden Voice, what's happening?
I'm going all in with this. All right.
Really?
All chips on black. Yeah. I'm currently going to UWM for journalism. So this is going to be a major help in my pursuit of that primetime spot on ABC. I want to have, you know, like World News with David Muir. That's, yes. That's exactly where I want to
that's
be.
That's where you're that's going?
Either that or GMA. GMA would be perfect for me. But I also do like doing radio. I find it, especially like where I am now, I wouldn't mind being at WNOV or even being at, because I also work at the Milwaukee Media Group where Jam 98.3 or 102.9 The Hog are. So I wouldn't mind doing what they do. Like, I love going all around Milwaukee and all around different places, meeting people, talking with them and hearing their experiences. But I'd like to be behind the mic and on the other side with the technical equipment, learning how like the board works, learning how the microphone is set up so that I can clearly see both sides of the paradigm.
Well, I tell you what, one of the things that I will certainly offer up, if there is any time that you would like to come and co-host with me, more than welcome to do so. Since you're talking about making this a career, I'm happy to set up a standing day that you and I chop it up. Discuss the issues of the day, Antonio.
Yeah, we all perked up.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally, I'm happy to open up one of my shows because that's actually one of the ways I got started. When Eric Vaughn was over at 1290, he created a Friday segment and he invited me to come in and do that segment with him. And that's literally how I started appearing on radio on a regular basis. So I am more than happy. As you branch out, do your own things, you're welcome.
I'm more than grateful.
Look, definitely.
More than grateful. Yeah.
All right. Doug got my number. Get it from Doug and shoot me a text, and I'm happy to follow up. All right, family. I got to wrap the show. For folks that have not had a chance to hear you all, tell them where they can find you, what day and what time.
Okay.
She looked at me for a second. I was like, you want me to do it?
The Hustle and Go Show, powered by the Center for Teaching Entrepreneurship, will be the last Saturday of every month at 8 a.m.
Yep. And our next show will be next week, Saturday at
this week.
I'm so sorry. I'm out of the loop for some reason. I've had a long work schedule. This week, this Saturday at 8 a.m., and it will be our 100th anniversary show. So please tune in for that.
You already have the topics, or y'all doing a recap, or what's that?
It's a bit of all of it collected. We'll be doing some trivia, looking back at old shows, because we're bringing in some old guests.
Okay.
Like people who've been on the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I you know what? I'll listen in because I'm going to be out of town, but I will tune in and I'll check out the show. Congratulations. Yeah. Thank you. You want to say something, Naomi? Like, you want to say something?
No.
Okay. Well, look, let me extend my congratulations. This is not an easy thing to do, yet alone being young when there are so many different demands on your time, so many different things you could be doing. So I am super impressed. A number of people are hitting me up saying, oh, our future is bright. I'm so proud of them. You guys are doing a phenomenal job and you can see the growth. And I love the opinions, all of them.
She looked, for those of you listening only on radio, Michelle looked dead in my eyes, right in my soul. I love it.
But I'm expecting amazing things from you. So thank you so much. Thank you for joining me. Remember, the offer is a legit offer and it stands. All right.
We'll definitely.
Thank you.
All right, family. That's the show for the day. I appreciate everybody that called in, made it go. Let me just say, it's a number of issues we got to get to tomorrow. And what's tomorrow? Wednesday?
Thursday,
yeah.
I got to go. All right. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Peace.